Okay, we'll move on to item number 12, report and possible discussion on the Clean Rivers Program Basin Highlights, report by Tiffany Morgan, Environmental and Compliance Manager. Tiffany?
At your seat you found this morning, we provided each one of you a copy of the annual Basin Highlights report that we do in compliance with the Texas Clean Rivers Program. It is very similar to last year's report. However, we covered a different portion of the basin with it as far as doing watershed assessments that should help us when we come into having to do the five-year basin summary report, which is the intense water quality data analysis, trending, and modeling report we do every 5 years for the program. So you have that. If you have any questions at a later date, send them to Phil and we'll get them answered for you. Just a quick summary for those of you who have questions on impairments. This is a map showing the current impairments in the Brazos River Basin. According to the 2014 draft Texas Integrated Report that TCEQ submits to EPA, this report has not been approved by EPA yet. As you can see, we still battle the bacteria standards on the small streams, but those are slowly being resolved through reassessing those water quality standards on a stream-by-stream basis. And if I'd shown you this map about 3 years ago, it would have been a lot worse with the purple, so we are working through those. We do have a few dissolved oxygen issues on isolated, again, very small streams. And then we are working through a pH... Where's the laser point? pH issue on Lake Somerville that we've been working on for several years trying to understand. It appears to be an internal loading issue that leads to algal blooms that then leads to the pH problem, but there is no real good solution for that lake right now. Yes, sir.
Can you give us a little more detail so we can see where some of these locations are? I mean... Is that all you have? If it's all you have, that's fine.
That's all I have for the moment, but we can certainly do that, and I can provide it to Phil, and he can send it out to you.
Can you, those reservoirs to the northwest of, tributaries, those rivers.
Right here?
No, northwest of Austin.
Northwest of
Williamson
Austin.
Williamson County.
Can you
just name some of those?
Mm-hmm. Brushy Creek.
Okay.
Is one of them. This is the San Gabriel.
It's the South San Gabriel or North?
It's that San Gabriel below Lake Granger.
Okay.
And then this one is the North San Gabriel.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
And then that is Willis Creek that flows into Lake Granger.
Okay, thank you. And the issues in the purple is what exactly?
Bacteria, elevated E. coli.
And that comes from?
That can come from any variety of things. It can come from runoff from wildlife, pet waste in urban areas is generally the major component. We can get feral hog, wild deer, duck populations. You can also get wastewater treatment plant discharge depending on the compliance level of the facility.
So do you have any more data to tell us where some of this is coming from? You have to have that in order to solve the problem, do you not?
Yes, you do, and we have not gotten to that level yet on those streams. There is a project going on. It is not a BRA project looking at Brushy Creek. City of Round Rock is conducting that. We've offered our assistance, but as of yet they have not requested our assistance. Trying to determine, and they are focusing mainly on urban waste sources, mainly the high development along that stream. But it is also a heavily wastewater dominated stream. The two Round Rock facilities, however, their compliance is very good as far as discharges, so they are not a highly likely source. I can't speak for the other dischargers on that stream.
What danger to animals or human beings does this pose?
Animals, it generally does not seem to have a negative impact on humans, depending on your health status and what else may be in there. E. coli is just our indicator that there is some sort of mammal-based fecal pollution.
Is that correct? Or what about eating fish?
I would not.
Anything that's treated water. as in a swimming pool, it's not a...
I'm asking for a little more specificity than that. Should you eat fish out of it?
Fish should not be a problem out of it.
That should not be a problem with that?
Fish should not be a problem out of it. But that is the Texas Department of Health's statement, and that is the best statement that David just said. Any untreated surface water is potentially at risk on any given day because you don't know what critter has been through there right before you.
Okay, thank you.
Dissolved oxygen is usually too little. We're warm. We have a lot of clear, flat streams. The warmer the water, the less oxygen it can hold. Algae in some areas can also be a culprit. But what we have learned over the years, and we have participated in some studies and another presentation I'll make in a minute, we're asking permission to do another one, have discovered that Texas fish and aquatic organisms are very well adapted to our environment, and so there is a chance to uncouple your dissolved oxygen standard and your aquatic life standard, which have always been tied together in the past. And we're finding that in a lot of these small prairie streams, the communities can tolerate a lower dissolved oxygen level and still be a very healthy, vibrant, diverse community. And so that's what is slowly working on. Duck Creek up here is one of those where there is no known algal problem. Davidson Creek is another one where they're just very small, very shallow, sun-exposed streams where it's probably just naturally that way. No major indicator of pollution to lead us to think that's the cause behind the DO.
And pH, is that too much acid or too much base?
pH on the only water body we have is Somerville with a pH problem, and it's not a... That one, it fluctuates. The state water quality standards has 6.5 to 9 is the range that surface water should be in. And at Lake Somerville, it's a very unique situation. It busts both of them from time to time. It can be too high or too low. And that's where we're really looking at. There is no major nutrient input that we can find in that area. There's not a significant amount of ranching or agriculture around it. There's not a significant load of discharges either. And it seems to be an internal, out of the sediments of the reservoir is where the nutrients are coming that feeds the algae, then the algae blooms are driving the pH swings. Because you can see that big swing within 24 hours as it switches from photosynthesis to respiration.
And since that's a Corps of Engineers dam, is it our water and we need to address it? Or does the Corps treat it?
The Corps has... for all practical purposes, not been active in water quality in our basin for some time. It is predominantly actually a TCEQ issue that we, through the Clean Rivers Program, have been helping them work on. They are really the ones with the enforcement arm to actually go out and do something about it, but in this case, there doesn't seem to be much that can be done other than try to build the case that it is a natural occurrence and try to work with EPA to remove it from the impairment list, because otherwise it does not appear to be impairing the fish population of the reservoir or causing any other problems. Thank you. Any questions? And then same thing with concerns. However, you'll see we have a lot of nutrient concerns in the basin, which is not unexpected, given the highly rural and agricultural basis. We are waiting on nutrient standards from TCEQ. However, that is a very long and involved process for them to adopt and have standards approved by EPA. At some point, I do anticipate we will move some of these concerns to the impairment status. There are projects, the Leon... This area right here, which is almost all green, there are active projects for a watershed protection plan that we started, then passed off to the AgriLife folks. They are actively working with the agricultural communities up there to try to improve practices and reduce some of those impacts. They're also doing some work with septic tank replacements and working with some of the smaller wastewater treatment facilities to help them improve their treatment process also. But that will probably be in the next 10 years, start to become more of a pressing problem for us, provided TCEQ can get through the EPA process in 10 years, which may or may not be a possible given other states that have gone before us. There's no more questions. I'll move on to the next presentation, please.